You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 p.m.
CBS News. A lengthy trial against a former senator continues Monday. The defense gets a chance to present its case. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The trial of former Republican Senator Edward Gurney of Florida has been underway for over 4 months. Gurney's lawyers now get their chance to present Gurney's case. Bruce Hall reports from Tampa.
The 61-year-old Republican, who was the first senator in 50 years to be indicted while in office, is expected to take the stand and blame everything on his aides. In the lengthy trial, the government put 69 witnesses on the stand and presented a strong case detailing how $400,000 was collected by Gurney aides. The money came from Florida building contractors in return for approval of government-backed FHA loans. 9 people have already pleaded guilty in the influence peddling scheme, including 3 co-defendants. But it may be another month before Gurney's fate is decided and his case goes to the jury. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Tampa.
More news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take Sinoff tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sinoff Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sinoff. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sinoff.
A sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff tablets.
Exactly. Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
New York Governor Hugh Carey Sunday responded to allegations printed over the weekend in the Cox newspapers. The report said that during the Arab oil embargo in 1973, then Congressman Carey and Senator John Sparkman of Alabama pressured the Commerce Department to approve a deal for the shipment of cheap domestic oil to a refinery in the Bahamas. The refinery is controlled by Carey's brother. The report said Carey's brother and the Alabama oil man involved reaped millions in profits at a time when domestic refineries were starving for oil. Here's what Carey says about the charges.
First, the allegation, so-called, does not have a shred of truth as far as I am concerned. I have no knowledge of any such situation. I know profoundly from my own recollection and my conscience and the policies I followed in Congress, there could not be any substance to any such allegation.
Carey went on to label the charges a lie. In Austin, Belgium, 2 children of a wealthy industrialist have been found unharmed about 24 hours after they were kidnapped from their parents' villa at a nearby resort. 4 men broke into the home of Pierre Bonnet and abducted his 6-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. Bonnet is an executive of a large steel company in Belgium. Prime Minister Indira Gandhi of India Monday makes her formal appeal to the Indian Supreme Court to allow her to remain as head of the government. Mrs. Gandhi wants to keep her job while appealing her conviction of corrupt election practices. Today in New Delhi, about 20,000 people gathered at a rally to hear opposition political leaders condemn Mrs. Gandhi. Increasing disagreements and tensions are threatening to disrupt the remaining 11 days of the International Women's Conference in Mexico City. Much of the criticism centers on the composition of the official delegation. Dissidents claim the delegates are not qualified, but are the wives or relatives of various heads of state. Congressman Abner Mikva, Democrat of Illinois, says the Federal Energy Administration has failed to respond to his charges that the major oil companies are pressuring service station operators. Mikva says the oil giants are encouraging wasteful consumption of petroleum by pressuring service stations to stay open longer hours and on Sundays and engage in competitive price cutting. Mikva says the situation raises doubt about the Ford administration's commitment to a fair, even-handed energy conservation program. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing American Profile with CBS News correspondent Charles Osgood, the next bicentennial special on the CBS Radio Network.
I've learned some fascinating facts about Dr. Benjamin Rush. the revolutionary patriot who may have been two centuries ahead of his time. Dr. Rush pioneered in psychology, psychiatry, dentistry, veterinary medicine. He also presided over America's first anti-slavery movement and worked for penal reform and women's rights. Yes, a remarkable gentleman was Dr. Benjamin Rush.
He's just one of 30 fascinating revolutionary-era figures you'll hear about on the holiday weekend of July 5th and 6th. There'll also be true stories about Thomas Jefferson, who wrote a great declaration, David Rittenhouse, who helped build Philadelphia, and many others who laid the foundations of our country. Listen for American Profile with Charles Osgood, a weekend full of compelling interest, Saturday and Sunday, July 5th and 6th, on the CBS Radio Network.
It was an unusual thing for the two men to do, but President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger spent Sunday together. The two leaders and their families relaxed at the presidential retreat in the Maryland Mountains. Aides acknowledged the president and Kissinger probably had some discussions about the Middle East. The Fords and Kissingers dined together Sunday evening at Camp David, then returned to Washington by helicopter. Doug Poling.
Presents. Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, ready if you are to probe once again into the depths of imagination and the heights of illusion. Illusion. What is life? A philosopher asked. And to answer his own question, he replied, life is an illusion, a shadow, a story. And this may well be. But in that event, we may well ask, whose illusions? Whose shadow? Whose story? Is this life only a dream? Are we characters in our own reverie? If that is true, and it may well be, who and what are we when we awake?
Work is for suckers. There's a quicker, easier way.
And the jails are filled with people who took it. If you work, you can put money in the bank.
The idea is to take money out of the bank.
Ah, but you have to deposit it first.
No, you don't. Not if you walk in with a gun.
And suppose the police try to stop you?
Well, you just have to shoot it out.
Have you ever shot it out? With the police? Well, have you?
Wouldn't you like to know, Mary baby? Wouldn't you like to know?
Our mystery drama, Death is a Dream, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mercedes McCambridge.
It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet baseball's Jotun Joe DiMaggio.
Baseball's a game where you learn fast about teamwork. That's why I believe in athletes versus MS. Athletes from every sport, including John Havlicek, Muhammad Ali, Billie Jean King, have teamed up asking everyone to join in the fight against MS. Multiple sclerosis, the great crippler of young adults. There's no cure yet, but there's hope through research. Support your local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little world is rounded with a sleep. So said William Shakespeare, and so lives Mary Catherine Collins. Mary Catherine lives in a world of never-ending nightmare. It's a world of heart-stabbing terror and apprehension. Every night, there's the dream. The same dream. It refuses to leave her. She can only fight off sleep for so long, and then the dream once again overwhelms her. And each night, the dream is exactly the same in every minute detail. It's just the way it was when she dreamed it for the first time on that night of August the 14th. That night is seared in her memory forever.
I see Joe. My brother Joe. And he's walking his beat. The night's dark, and a soft rain is falling, and drops of water glisten on his black policeman's raincoat. And he's whistling that tune, the tune I never heard anywhere else. And he always said, one day I'll tell you the name of it. He's climbing out of the window of a warehouse. He didn't hear me. My brother never heard me. A dream. He's dead, isn't he? Why else would you be here at this time of the night? Joe's dead.
Yes, ma'am.
He was killed by some hoodlum who was robbing a warehouse at the end of Water Street.
Mary, who told you?
I saw it happen. I saw it happen.
Now, Mary, you must get a hold of yourself.
He was shot just as he turned the corner. His revolver was still in his holster. He never had a chance. Joe never had a chance.
I know how hard it is, Mary.
I saw it happen. Oh, why? Why did I see it happen?
I saw it happen as if I were sitting in a theater and it was all taking place on a giant screen. And from that night on, I saw it happen every night. Every night I was condemned to relive it again and again and again.
Lieutenant Miller. Who? Oh, look, tell her... No, tell her to come in.
Mary, it's good to see you.
Is it? Good to see me, Frank?
Mary, how can you say that?
I'm becoming a pest. Admit it, Frank.
Oh, I'll admit no such thing.
I haunt you day and night. I pester you with phone calls every hour on the hour.
Well, it's understandable. I know how much your brother Joe meant to you.
No, you don't. Nobody could ever hope to understand how much Joe meant to me.
Mary, I'm sorry.
We're all sorry. But sorrow gets us nowhere. It's been 6 weeks now since Joe was killed.
Mary, we've had every available man out on this case.
I know. It isn't your fault. But I know how the department works. And little by little, my brother is going to become a statistic. Just another police officer killed in the line of duty by an unknown assailant.
Mary, we're doing our best.
I didn't say you weren't. What I'm saying is that your best isn't good enough.
That's not fair.
Fair? Oh, what's fair? Was it fair for my brother to be gunned down without warning? His revolver is still in his holster. Oh, why did he have to be killed? Joe was a good cop. He gave everybody a break, and he liked to help people. Why did he...
Look, Mary, we'll get the killer.
No, I don't think so. And so that's why...
That's why what?
That's why I'm going to get him myself.
Well, just what exactly does that mean?
It means I'll have to get him myself.
Well, how can you...
I plan to spend a great deal of time in that neighborhood.
Doing what?
Teaching school.
Teaching school?
Why not? I'm a school teacher.
But you're teaching uptown.
I've asked for a transfer.
Do you know what those kids are like? What that area is like?
It was where my brother worked and was murdered.
What can you possibly hope to...
I intend to become a part of that neighborhood.
You mean you'll poke around and ask questions?
You can put it any way you like.
You realize you can get yourself killed?
I have... a job to do. I'd taken step one. I'd made the decision to leave the soft and delightful job at North Crescent High School, known and with good reason as the country club. My principal was completely at a loss to understand why I'd want to leave his pleasant, well-ordered school for what he could only describe as the witch's cauldron at Southern District. Well, of course, there was no way I could explain it. And now... step two, to be accepted by John Hodges, principal at Southern District. And suddenly I realized it wasn't going to be automatic.
You thought we were so desperate for teachers here we'd grab anybody who walks in?
Well, truthfully, I didn't think there'd be...
Well, the first part of your assumption is correct. We are desperate for teachers. Teachers. That's why we have to be very particular.
But I...
Yes. Miss Collins.
I have a good record.
Miss Collins, tell me, what are you doing here?
Well, isn't that obvious? I want to teach English at your school.
Why?
Because I'm an English teacher.
Look, we've done more fencing in the 5 minutes you've been in this office than all of the Three Musketeers put together. You have had the plum of the system. A job at North Crescent, mostly motivated kids from comfortably situated families. 90% of them go on to college. Do you know what we have here?
Oh, I think so.
You think so? Miss Collins...
I know. They are difficult children.
Difficult? Yes. Children? No. These are only adolescents chronologically.
Well, I felt that there was no challenge at North Crescent.
I see.
And that here I would be tested to the utmost of my ability. I want to see if I can measure up. Well, Mr. Hodges, won't you say something?
Miss Collins, I am seldom, if ever, at a loss for words. But I simply cannot figure you out.
You mean you don't believe me?
I need teachers. Cavalier as I may sound, I need teachers.
I work best with seniors.
Do you?
Yes, especially with the advanced lit courses.
Do you think you can teach Shakespeare?
I've done it.
Okay. Good luck. We'll set up a program for you.
Thank you, Mr. Hodges. And I know that I'll be successful.
I'm sure you will. Provided you survive.
And so the time arrived for me to report for my first class. And I paused at the doorway and looked into the room. My heart did more than sink. It almost died within me. That classroom was a madhouse. They were tough kids. I almost regretted my transfer, but I remembered my brother Joe. And I knew I'd have to go through with this somehow. I needed a reason to be in that neighborhood. And I had to start with a nucleus of friends, or even acquaintances.
Hey, look at this! Hey, is this the teacher?
Come on.
Hey, Teach, what are you doing?
Surprise now, huh?
This class.
Hey, Teach, what are you doing tonight?
Please.
Hey, look at her. Hey,
please. This class will come to order.
Oh, I'm going to order a couple of beers. Hey, what are you going to have, Chuck?
Hey, you, who's got the dice? Let's get the game going.
Now, you. You in the blue shirt. Yeah. You report to the principal's office.
Oh, how about that? I didn't go.
And you,
that.
You there with the red hair, will you please sit down?
Oh, that's a wig. I'll take it off.
That young lady near the window.
Yeah, but she ain't no lady.
Hey, there ain't no action around here. Let's dance.
Let's move it.
All right, now. Turn off that radio.
Yep. Hey, Teach, can I have the pleasure of this dance?
Yeah, I've seen it first.
Will you please turn off that radio? Now turn that off. Sorry, Mr. Hodges. It was a fiasco.
I know. I was just across the hall. I saw it all.
You saw it? And you permitted it?
We have to find out if you can control these kids. You could empty the room by sending everyone to my office for discipline, but that's not teaching. I'm afraid you'd better go back to North.
Oh, no, please give me another chance.
Why?
Because
I could understand if you liked these kids, but you don't.
Oh, I do, really.
No. And they sensed it the minute you walked in. They saw it. They felt it.
They felt what?
Your hostility. Your contempt.
Oh, that's not true.
It isn't? You are repelled by these youngsters, and it shows. Now, Miss Collins, you'd better go back to the well-ordered world of North Crescent.
Oh, please, Mr. Hodges, you must give me another chance.
I'm sorry, Miss Collins. It won't work.
No, you can't turn me down.
Miss Collins, I will give you another chance on one condition. You must tell me the real reason you want to work here.
But I told you.
No, you didn't. And now I insist.
Very well, Mr. Hodges. I'll tell you.
Well, what will Mary tell him? The real reason? If she does, how will he take it? If not the real one, then she needs a reason that sounds convincing. And can she make one up on the spur of the moment? One thing we know, Mary must have the job if she's to have any chance of finding her brother Joe's killer. Well, fortunately, she has a few moments to think about it before I return with Act Two.
You care enough to only walk the king of fears.
when you say Budweiser.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Things are seldom what they seem. Skim milk masquerades as cream. It's one of Mary Catherine Collins' favorite verses. And now it's going to form a pattern for the next portion of her life. She is attempting to masquerade as a dedicated teacher in a slum district school in order to find out, if she can, the identity of her brother's killer. But her first problem is to get the job. And John Hodges, the principal, has very grave doubts indeed.
Mr. Hodges, I agree. It's time we told each other the truth.
Let's say it's time you told me the truth.
My name, Collins. Does that mean anything to you?
Collins, no, I don't think so.
Well, almost 2 months ago, a police officer was killed in this neighborhood.
Oh, yes. Yes, I knew him.
Officer Collins.
I never even knew his last name. Everyone called him Joe.
He was my brother.
Oh. Oh, I am sorry.
And then you know that he was an unusual man.
Yes.
He could have risen high. He could have gone far in the department, but he chose not to. He felt that good cops were needed in places like this. And I feel that if I could take his place somehow, if I could be the kind of influence in the classroom that he tried to be out on the street.
Well, I won't be the one to refuse you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hodges.
Miss Collins, why do you think your brother was so successful with the people in our neighborhood?
Well, I suppose he had a gift.
He surely did. And do you know what that gift was? He liked the people. That's 90% of what you need, Miss Collins.
I had told him a half-truth, but it was enough to nail down the job. And now, in order to keep it, I'd have to like those kids. But how? Okay, round one.
Hey,
come out fighting. All right, now. Now, calm down. Now. Class, today I am going to introduce you to a man named William Shakespeare.
Yeah, where is he?
He's right here in this book in my hand.
Well, why should I want to meet him? What's in it for me?
Uh-huh. Very good question. What is your name? Charlie, I believe, huh?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Well, you should become acquainted with Mr. Shakespeare, because as soon as you go back to reform school...
To over-reform school. I go up to the big joint on my next rap.
Well, either way, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. And Mr. Shakespeare can make it pass very quickly. Hello?
Mary, I finally tracked you down.
Oh, hello, Frank.
I didn't know you were going to live down there, too.
Well, see, I found this little apartment. It's convenient to the school.
Mary, the neighborhood.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. But people do live here.
Mary, what are you doing? You can't... can't go around asking people, do you know who killed police officer Collins?
Yes, I understand.
Well, then what are you doing?
I don't know. Frank, it's just being here. I mean, I could hear something or see something.
The department is working on it. You can get hurt.
Oh, Frank.
What is it? What's the matter?
Frank,
Mary, is something wrong? I can have a cop over there in just a second.
No. No, I'm all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I hear you. What's the matter? You think everybody's deaf? What do you want?
Listen, I live upstairs in apartment 4F.
Oh, yeah, you're the school teacher.
Yes, I have to see the superintendent.
Look, honey, down here we don't have no superintendents. We got janitors.
I have to see him immediately.
You can't do it.
Why not?
Because he's drunk. Look for yourself. You see? Sprawled all over the couch.
Well, somebody has to do something.
About what?
There's a rat in my apartment.
Only one? You're lucky.
I just saw him.
How do you know it's him?
I was sitting at the telephone and I saw this enormous rat.
You sure it wasn't a mouse?
Well, what's going to be done about it?
You got a gun? Shoot him.
Now, please.
Okay. When Strongheart here wakes up, I'll send him to your place. He'll bring up a broom handle or a trap. I don't know what he does.
And what am I going to do in the meantime?
About what?
About the rat.
I don't know. Try to make friends with him.
How do you make friends with him? Well, the days passed and I couldn't make friends with anybody. In the class, I'd reached a point where I was being tolerated, but just barely. And in the neighborhood, I was obviously alien clay. There was something different about me. My clothes, my accent, I had the look of somebody who didn't have to live there. And that made me suspect. And another thing, I was a teacher. I worked for the government, and the government always meant trouble. There were police, parole officers, and welfare investigators. I was beginning to feel very foolish. How was I ever going to get anywhere in finding Joe's killer? To whom could I talk?
Well, hiya, Mary.
Well, good morning, Charles.
You saw because I called you Mary. It ain't as if we were in class. Hey, where'd you get the car?
I didn't get it. I bought it. I earned the money, and I bought it.
Oh, why do you always have to make a lesson out of everything? You're trying to tell me get a job, Charlie, be a good little boy, work hard, save your money, and one day you'll have enough to
buy... Yes, I suppose that is what I'm trying to tell you.
Work is for suckers. There's a quicker, easier way.
And the jails are filled with people who took it. Now, listen, Charles, you like this car. Well, I worked to put the money in the bank.
The idea is not to put the dough in the bank, but to take it out.
But you have to deposit it first.
No, you don't. Not if you walk in with a gun.
But that's stealing.
What about all the smooth, dignified, white-haired guys who steal millions and get away with it?
Well, if you want to be a crook, why not be the best? Get yourself a good education so you can become one of the smooth, dignified, white-haired boys yourself.
What, are you out of your mind?
Why? I mean, is your way better? Do you want to spend your life in jail or be gunned down?
Listen, Mary, what are you doing here?
Making a living.
Oh, come on, come on. You don't have to work here. You're a class dame. What's your angle?
Angle?
Everybody's got an angle. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you like it down here. But then you'd have to be nuts.
All right,
everybody, that's it. Now, for tomorrow, we have pages 30 through 45.
Well, pages? What the heck is this?
Miss Collins?
Yes, Tony, what is it?
It ain't nothing.
No, it isn't anything.
Yeah, that's right. It isn't anything. Like I said, it isn't anything. But I want to tell you something.
Yes?
About Shakespeare.
Oh?
I used to think, Shakespeare, what gives with Shakespeare, you know? But all of a sudden, I seen it. I mean, I seen the guys for real.
Is that so?
Yeah, like you was reading, and you said, neither a borrower nor a lender be? Remember? That's Shakespeare, right?
Yes, it's Hamlet.
Yeah, this guy Polonius says that, but that's what my old man, he should rest in peace. Yeah, that's what my old man always used to say to me. He'd say, Tony, don't borrow money off of the guy. Don't lend money off of the guy. And you'll be friends with everybody, you see?
Yes, I see.
This Polonius, I hear what he says. Okay, he knows some fancy words my old man never heard of, but this Polonius, he's my old man.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I kind of miss the old man, you know? And now I come across this guy, and, what I want to say is, thanks.
Well, I'm sure you're welcome, Tony.
Look, if there's something I can do for you, I mean, you name it. Is there something I can do for you?
How could I ask him? How could I say, do you know who killed Officer Joe Collins? What kind of a question would that be? And where would it lead? And why would he know? But I finally promised that I would call on him if ever I needed help. I don't know how long I'd been sitting there when...
Mary.
What?
I was walking down the hall. Your classroom door was open. I saw you sitting there. There was something very strange about you.
Oh, really?
Yes. For the first time since you've come here, I saw you smiling.
Oh, I always smile.
No. This was truly a smile. As if it came from the basic meaning of the word itself, which means to be astonished. What happened?
Well, I think I just taught somebody something.
And you're starting to get an inkling of the reason why your brother Joe worked down here.
I think so.
Hey, Mary.
Oh, hello, Dora. Did you tell your husband about the leaky faucet?
Oh, yeah. He'll get around to it one of these weeks. listen. Now, tell me if I'm talking out of turn. Are you on the lam?
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, you know what I mean, kid. Do the cops want you?
Well, what makes you think the cops want me?
Because a cop has been around asking for you, a plainclothes guy.
Well, then how did you know he was a cop?
Oh, kid, I can smell him. He's in the hallway now.
He is? Well, thanks.
Ah, so you are on the lam.
I didn't say that.
Then what are you going back to your car for?
Well, I just remembered. I have a date.
Listen, kid. I'm glad to help. Now, before you come back, give me a ring, huh? I'll tell you if the coast is clear.
Of course, I knew it was only Frank. But I acted on the spur of the moment, and acted is exactly the right word for it. And Dora spread the word. The implication was that I was sort of hiding out down here. And instantly, my status changed. People no longer stopped talking when I passed by. I was no longer given guarded attention when I walked into a shop. Evidently, now I belonged. But I was getting no closer to my objective. How could I come out with the direct questions? I was becoming a part of the neighborhood, but I still wasn't getting anywhere.
Give it up, Mary.
Frank, I can't. I've got to get that murderer.
I know, but it will have to be done in the usual way.
And maybe it won't be done at all.
That could happen.
And the killer goes free, is that right? What am I going
to
do?
Come home, to where you belong.
No, I belong where I can find Joe's killer.
But it hasn't worked.
Help me, Frank.
How?
But tell me how I should go about it. I don't know what moves to make.
There are no moves you can make.
I mean, if you were in my place, you are a trained detective, what would you do?
Well, I'd have stool pigeons out. We did, you know, but nobody picked up the slightest rumble.
Very well, the informer angle has been covered. Then what?
Well, the truth is, we're doing what you're doing, with no more success. What's got us licked is if we could only get a description, any kind of description, then we could ask definite questions. We could ask, do you know a guy who codes like this or that? But there are no witnesses.
What? What did you say, Frank?
I said, there are no witnesses.
But that isn't true.
What isn't true?
There was a witness.
Mary, what are you saying?
There was a witness. There was a witness.
Was there? I've been following the story very carefully and closely, and I'm not aware of any witness. After all, Joe was killed on a lonely street. No one was there when it happened. Yet Mary says there was a witness. Oh, yes, of course there was. Can you figure out who? It should take you more than a few moments, and by that time, I shall return with Act Three.
Blind and a teacher? Well, we're here to tell you. There are lots of us all over the country, and we're doing other things, too. We're blind, but we're just like you.
I teach visually impaired and blind in the public schools of Dade County, and I teach in the adult vocational program Braille in the evening. My certification is in visual disabilities K-12. In other words, I can teach virtually on any level through high school. I've been in the National Federation of the Blind for not as many years as I wish I had. There are problems that need to be corrected, and there are people that are interested in correcting them, which makes you feel pretty good. It gets pretty lonely out there.
For further information, get in touch with your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind, or contact me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309. This message presented as a public service by this station and the members of the National Federation of the Blind.
I enjoyed flying. I just got an immense pleasure out of flying. Can't describe it. It's just something that, you know.
I don't know. I guess basically my whole being is based on adventure, on the challenge of flying an aircraft, knowing that you have the responsibility for a multi-million dollar aircraft. And that responsibility that it gives you makes your life significant, makes my life anyway.
To me, flying is something that gives me a lot more freedom in understanding myself. I get to find my own fears and faults when I'm up alone. There's no one else to help me, no one else to grab the controls and pull me out of the spin. It's up to me.
Flight training, they're giving me what it's worth I couldn't even start to make in a lifetime.
It takes a special type of person.
Learn to fly in the Navy. If you're going to be something, why not be something special? Joe Collins was killed in the line of duty. He was walking along a deserted street late one rainy night, doing his job, walking his beat. Someone shot him down and fled. And 2 months have gone by, and the police are no nearer to catching the killer than they were the night it happened. Only his sister has discovered the one element that is absolutely vital to the successful capture of the criminal. Or so she says.
Mary, there were no witnesses. No one saw it happen.
That isn't true. Someone did see it happen.
Who?
Me.
What? I saw it happen.
Mary, you weren't there.
I didn't say I was there. I said I saw it happen.
But how could you possibly...
Because I dreamed about it.
Oh, Mary.
That night you came to my apartment to tell me yourself, remember?
I remember.
And you will also remember that I knew it before you even told me.
Yes, I remember.
Well, how did it happen that I could even tell you where? At the end of Water Street. And remember, you were shocked. Remember, you said, Mary, who told you?
At the time, I was upset and nervous.
How would I know that it was Water Street? I saw Joe turn that corner. And I saw the man coming out of the window of the warehouse. And I saw that he had a gun. And he fired as soon as he saw my brother. I am the witness because I saw the whole thing.
All right, Mary. Fine, tell me. What does the killer look like?
What?
Well, you say you saw the killing. Describe the killer. Is that an unfair question?
Oh, no, but I...
But what?
Well, I didn't get a good look at him.
Oh.
See, I was so terrified. And I was so afraid for Joe that I... And besides, the man was in the shadow. I couldn't see him.
I hate to say this, Mary, but your dream really doesn't do us any good. From a practical point of view, that is.
Yes, but next time I'll concentrate on the killer.
Next time?
Yes, next time. Tonight. Every night I dream this dream, Frank. Every night. And this time I'm not going to fight it. I'll wait for it gladly. I'll welcome it. And this time, I won't look at my brother. I'll look at the killer. Joe! Joe, look out. He's got a gun. Joe! Joe! I tried to look at the man in the shadowy darkness, but I couldn't take my eyes off my brother. And it's in that darkness that the killer exists, and I've got to find him there. I must remember to look there, to look again.
You sent for me, John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was anyone here with you.
Hi, Tidge.
Well, what's the trouble?
You'll have to go to the police station and identify your car.
Why?
Well, it seems Charles here and a few of his buddies took your car and went joyriding and then piled it up against a telephone pole. They would have abandoned it except for the fact that a police cruiser happened along. The rest got away. Charles was caught.
Oh? Uh-huh.
Preliminary estimates on the damage run about $900. Now, what's everybody running a fee for? The insurance pays, don't it? That's a great attitude.
I'm glad you like it.
This time, I'm afraid it's jail. I've given up on you, Charles.
Now you're breaking my heart.
Oh, why does Charles have to go to jail?
Stealing a car is against the law.
Who says he stole the car?
What?
Who says he stole the car? The truth is, I gave him permission to use the car.
Mary, it's wrong for you.
No, you see, I don't use it very much, and I understand if you don't run a car regularly, you get carbon deposits, isn't that so?
This is not the way to do things.
Well, that's the truth.
I won't permit it.
John, it's the way it happened.
Okay, I'll hold still, but on one condition. This one and his pals have got to get jobs and cover the insurance bill.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
I know the foreman at Jackson's warehouse. You fellas can all work there after school. And now, if you'll excuse me.
Thanks. I said you were a class dame.
What's been done is done, Charles. And you will have to pay to have it fixed.
Oh, listen, me and the guys can steal your better one.
Oh, no. I don't think so. Now, listen, you're smart, Charles. Why be a cheap crook? How about becoming one of those smooth, dignified guys?
For that, you got to go to college.
So?
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, you got to have rocks in your skull. Me go to college?
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
That's it. Say why not. Say it and keep saying it and say it all the time. And after a while, you won't find a single reason against it.
Why are you doing this?
Because as a teacher, it's my job to inspire you to get all the education you can handle. And you are bright enough to handle a great deal.
Yeah. But why'd you get me off that stolen car, Rob?
Oh, that?
Yeah, I can't figure it. Nobody ever done nothing for me before. I mean, zilch, zero, nada.
Well, isn't it a better world when people try to help each other?
Yeah, sure. All right, what can I do to help you?
Oh, someday I might ask you some questions.
Questions? Like what?
Well, like, would you know a certain person?
So ask. What do you want to know?
Well, I don't know yet.
But when you find out, you'll ask, won't you?
Oh, yes. I'll ask. Joe! Joe, look out! Look out, he's got a gun! Joe! Finally, something happened. In the dream, I saw the man. Clearly. For the first time. Not his face, I didn't get the chance. But I saw his body. I saw his body clearly defined in the shadow. He was young. Young, even as some of the kids in my own classes. And he was slim, almost thin. And he was tall. And tomorrow night I'll concentrate on his face.
Lieutenant Miller.
Frank? Frank, suppose I could give you a description of the killer.
That'd be great. But where would you get it?
Well, every night in my nightmare, I see him more and more clearly.
You mean you want a jury to believe that a man you see in a dream is
the killer? Well, why not? I've seen all the rest of the crime.
Can you imagine what a defense attorney would do with you on the stand?
Frank, the man I see in the dream is the killer.
We'll need more than a dream to convict.
Well, maybe you do, but I don't.
And what does that mean?
Well, that means that I can handle all of it myself.
Mary, you're not saying what I think you're saying.
The murderer who killed my brother will be dealt with, if not by the law, then by me.
Mary!
I must sleep. I must fall asleep. Right now. Now, while I'm still calm and relaxed, I need all my energy to look into that shadow along the wall of the warehouse. I've got to see his face tonight. I must see his face, the face of the killer. And then I shall hunt him down tonight. Tonight I will see. Joe! Look out, he's got a gun. Look out, Joe. That tall kid with the blonde hair and the scar across his... Oh, my God. It's Joe!
Hey, will you come out?
Wait a minute.
Charles?
Yeah?
Charles, I wonder, could you stay after class for a few minutes?
Yeah, right on,
Hey,
Teach.
What are you going to stay after, Charlie?
Knock it off.
Charles. I need some help.
Anytime.
Well, I have to drive out into the country to pick up an antique, and I need someone to...
To lift? Carry? Oh, well, I'm your pigeon. But we're going to get back early. It's just that I got a date. Yeah, who cares? If she don't like it, I can get somebody else. I've always been independent with dames.
And I'm sure you can afford to be, with that blonde hair. And even that scar makes you look handsome. Well, are you ready?
Sure.
Oh, I'm glad I found you, Mary. You have a telephone call in my office. His name is Frank. He said it's of vital importance.
Mary. Oh, Mary, you don't know how I prayed for this day.
What? What is it, Frank?
We got him, Mary. We got him.
You got who?
Well, who do you think? The killer. The man who murdered your brother.
But that's...
That's what, Mary. Do you realize what I've just told you? We got him.
Are you sure?
It's ice cold. He was arrested in a stick-up at Larson City, just north of here. We checked his gun, and ballistics says it's the same one that fired the slugs that killed Joe. But what? To ice the cake, he even confessed.
He did?
Yes, funny. You know, if we'd only known what he looked like, he would have been a cinch to pick up. If only there'd been a witness. He's tall, thin, long blonde hair, and a funny little scar.
Oh, Frank. Frank.
What is it?
Oh, thank you, Frank. Oh, thank you.
Well, I suppose you'll be leaving us now.
Leaving you? Why do you say that?
Well, I spoke to Lieutenant Miller. He told me everything.
Oh.
And so, now that the killer has been caught, I suppose it's back to North Crescent High for you.
I don't know, John. You see, I'm not at all sure that they caught the killer.
But they say the man's confessed.
Well, they may have caught the man who pulled the trigger, but the killer is still here. The killer is here in these streets. The killer is what you and my brother Joe kept fighting against day and night. The poverty and the hopelessness and the feeling that nobody gives a damn.
Hey, Miss Collins, are we gone?
Oh, no, Charles, no, I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. Look, anytime I can help.
Oh, you've already helped me.
Yeah? How?
Oh, you'll never know.
Well, I'll see you in class tomorrow.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps on in this petty pace from day to day.
Shakespeare, right, Teach?
Right.
Tomorrow. That's the greatest gift of all gifts, a tomorrow. And Mary Catherine Collins will make sure of that by working today and every day with the kids that Joe loved so much. How fortunate a man Joe was. All the love and care that he had lavished on his sister returned to all the children. And I shall return with some love and a warning in just a few moments.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Is the dream the extension of reality? Who can say? It was given to Mary to dream of her brother's death. Why? And to see the face of his killer. The true face. Not the visage of a man, but the entire countenance of society. The crucible wherein the killers are formed. Here is also a crucible, and we form one of these stories for you 7 times a week. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Michael Wager, Bob Caliban, Jack Grimes, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I have only admiration for you, but let me tell you of this man. He has a magnificent talent for the piano, vraiment. And he is an heroic figure, sans doute. For years, he has used these gifts to trap, shall we say, at the least, trusting women. First, money and jewels, and when that is not enough, marriage, settlements that make him the one to inherit. And then, unfortunate accidents. 3 times that we know of, he has been married. 3 times a grieving widower. And each time, he is left richer than before.
But that's incredible.
He is a vicious murderer.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS 4 Seattle's KIXI, the weather outlook, occasional showers late tonight and tomorrow, decreasing on Tuesday, but some brief periods of partial clearing. The highs in the mid-60s, lows near 50. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 55 degrees, barometer steady at 29.97. A sports note. In the Northwest League in baseball, Seattle defeated Eugene by a score of 5-3.
In the air, everywhere, bright and beautiful music.
KIXI, Seattle.
It's 11 p.m.
CBS News. The Chicago Tribune reports that U.S. officials have learned of a secret and massive snooping campaign by the Russians on phone calls in the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Tribune says the National Security Council secretly uncovered the operation by Soviet agents. It says the Russians monitored hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of phone calls, including phone conversations of every member of Congress. According to the report, the Russians were able to pick up microwave transmissions of calls. The system is used for about 70% of the phone transmission in the United States. One senator was described as miffed because the U.S. government allegedly knew of the Soviet operation and did not tell the people being spied on. Senator William Proxmire, a Democrat of Wisconsin, says even though the Central Intelligence Agency has been linked to a number of illegal activities, talk of disbanding the agency is unreasonable. Proxmire says the vast majority of CIA activity has not been tarnished, and the nation needs the CIA for its security. More news in a moment.
You are in El Paso, in the far western corner of Texas, just across the Rio Grande from Juarez, Mexico, where the sun is said to shine 360 days a year, and where the Franklin Mountains overlooking the city are dry and nearly barren. At El Paso Community College, Project Hope is helping to prepare people for jobs in allied health fields. Nursing, medical laboratory technology, respiratory therapy, radiologic technology, and related sciences. Hope is helping to bring improvements in healthcare in the El Paso area, as it has in other parts of the Southwest. And you are there, not in body, but in spirit. Your belief in hope means that hope lives, not only here in the United States, but on four other continents. Hope lives because you help. Keep it up. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
Congressman Abner Mikva, Democrat of Illinois, says the Federal Energy Administration has failed to act on his complaints charging the big oil companies with encouraging wasteful consumption of gasoline. Mikva says the oil companies are pressuring their dealers to stay open longer and push gasoline sales.
Many of the dealers have stayed stayed closed on Sunday as a matter of their choice. Now, the Sunday closings, in fact, does promote the saving of some energy. And to insist they must stay open on Sunday or lose their leases or lose their franchises is just the baldest kind of pressure tactic on the part of the major oil companies against their dealers. So I'm hoping that the second letter to the FEA will make it clear that this problem won't go away by their shrugging their shoulders at it.
Mikva says after his first letter of complaint, the FEA said the oil company practice is a natural reaction to market competition. The congressman says the agency's position raises serious questions about the Ford administration's commitment to energy conservation. The International Women's Conference, sponsored by the United Nations, continues in Mexico City. The conference is far from unified, some delegates charging others are not proper representatives of women around the world. George Natanson has a report.
The conference, which opened Thursday, has had but one day of work sessions, but increasing tensions and disagreements threaten to disrupt the remaining 11 days. Much of the criticism by women observers centers on the composition of the official delegations. It is claimed that these are made up not of women of qualified merit, but are the wives or are related to various heads of state. The official delegations are drawing up the plan of action, guidelines for women in their struggle for equality. Militant American women are strongly protesting the naming of a man as co-head of the U.S. official delegation. The women met yesterday at the U.S. Embassy. Other women observers are protesting the official delegation's election of a man, Mexico's Attorney General, as president of the conference. George Natanson for CBS News in Mexico City.
President Ford's chief economic advisor, Alan Greenspan, says that for all practical purposes, the recession is over. Greenspan says he feels unemployment may remain high for another year, but he says there will be a noticeable improvement in that situation by the end of the summer. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye. Listen to this. Ever hear of Hannah Winthrop? This is Charles Osgood, CBS News. And I'll tell you about that gallant 18th century lady during our big weekend special July 5th and 6th. Hannah was a Cambridge housewife who kept a remarkable diary all through the War of the Revolution. Hers is one of 30 true stories you'll hear in American Profile, Saturday and Sunday, July 5th and 6th, on the CBS Radio Network.
No matter where you live or where you travel, disaster can threaten any time, any place, and you may be there. If you hear a tornado, flood, or hurricane alert, do you know what to do to protect yourself and others? The American Red Cross can help before an emergency happens. We can give you preparedness tips and safety instructions which could save your life. Remember, don't wait for disaster to strike. Learn what to do today. Call your local Red Cross chapter for information.
Britain's Princess Anne and her husband, Captain Mark Phillips, arrived in Boston Sunday. The royal couple will participate in the U.S. Open Championship horse trials. Their arrival was treated with a minimum of fanfare because the couple is here on a private rather than a state visit. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
From CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time is 6 minutes past 11.